We're really excited to hear from Senator Linda Wilson. Senator Wilson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Town Hall radio program. We appreciate your service. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
We are so grateful for you. So coming up with the next Thursday deadline, the cutoff, the first policy committee cutoff of the third, what do you expect to see as we're very nervous? The majority party has sponsored a number of bad bills, and we're very nervous to see which bills make it out of committee. Are there any specific proposals that you're following closely and that we should be concerned with?
Well, I think for me, I'm not on Law and Justice Committee anymore, but there are several firearms bills that anti-gun bills that are actually moving along, and those concern me a lot. There is the high capacity magazine. That one is actually on the floor because that was a bill that wasn't passed last year, so it's sitting there waiting to be pulled out into from rules onto the floor to be voted on at any time. And of course, what we don't know about that one is what it's an arbitrary number that they're picking, of course, but it's somewhere between 10 and 17, probably, right? Capacity number in of the magazine. And so that's going to be real concerning because, of course, what happened down in California and that decision by the Supreme Court down there, they capped it at 10. So I would imagine that's probably what they're going to be doing here. And so with that, that makes a whole lot of firearms that law-abiding citizens hold that will no longer be legal.
That's a good point, Senator Wilson. In this 60-day session, isn't it true that the legislature really should be focusing on making minor adjustments to the state's operating budget, transportation budget, and capital budget? But why is it that some legislators are wanting to take up major policy proposal changes in this very short, brisk, fast-paced 60-day session?
Well, that's a good question. Like you mentioned earlier, it's well over 1,000 bills that have between the House and the Senate that have been introduced. And, that's just nuts for a supplemental year. I mean, we are, as of this weekend, we will be one-third of the way into this session. So it gets to be kind of hair-raising because of all the bills that keep coming through and what we're trying to push back. There's, GMA bills that keep it's changing the GMA, the Growth Management Act, and I think one of the worst ones with the Riparian Act. That one is has, I believe, been stopped at least this year. So that was one that counties were really concerned about. It's just overwhelming. I think what's happening here, and but it's the same every year because we are in the minority and they pass what they want to pass. So, it's kind of frustrating. But there's one bill that I would love to see get through, and that would be the emergency powers bill. That's supposed to be heard tomorrow morning, and that is their bill. It doesn't do much, but if it got out of committee and onto the floor, we would have a heyday with the amendments on it. But apparently the governor said that he doesn't believe that we need to do anything with emergency powers this year.
Well of course not. Of course Governor Inslee doesn't want to have any restrictions, any accountability on his exercise of his emergency powers, his emergency authority. And so, of course, it's not needed in the governor's eyes. Now, of course, we're grateful that even the majority party Democrats are beginning to see that some changes, some modification to the emergency powers and how we and how the legislature keep the governor accountable is needed. Some modifications are needed.
Right. Absolutely. So we're not at the table except for the four corners on any order except for statutory orders, right? So those are the ones that have to do with rules and laws. But those prohibitionary orders, the ones that close down schools and the ones that are mandate vaccines and the ones that are mandating masks and all that, those are the ones we have absolutely no say on right now. And that's what our bills are trying to get to. And that's their bill does not address that at all. There's nothing that we can do about it. It would only be the four corners, but only if they choose to terminate it, right? That's the difference, is you choose to extend it or you choose to terminate it. And that's where their bill does that. But essentially, if the four corners were voting and only one of them voted no, then the emergency wouldn't be terminated. So it's still all the power is in the governor and the majority party in this bill. He doesn't even like that one.
Unfortunately, we're not getting the hearings and we're not getting the chance to hear the bills that are proposed on this issue, but for the one bill, as I understand. But if it makes it through that committee process throughout the next few days and makes it to the Senate floor, that offers you an opportunity to propose amendments to improve it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's right. If it gets to the floor. But my fear is that they don't want to have the conversation. So, you know, that's where they're at. I mean, I don't think that the governor wants to hear about what our opinions are about emergency powers. So, but you know, 700 days, that's how long it's been we've been under an emergency. So it's time that they allow the legislature back into at the table. You know, at this point we have no voice. We are duly elected officials and we have no voice.
In your job, Senator Wilson, in the 17th Legislative District, for our listeners, representing the rural parts of Clark County, including parts of Vancouver, Ridgefield, Brush Prairie, and Battleground, is to represent the voice of those individuals and children and family who live in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor thinks that, no, you don't get to even have your voice on these issues.
That's right.
He can make the decisions on his own without advice, without input from the legislature, without any checks or balances whatsoever.
Right. And, you know, we tried last year to get into special session so that we could deal with some of the issues, you know, like the long-term care program that's been such a debacle. So we asked to come back in, and, of course, unless we have two-thirds of the legislature voting to come back, we can't do that on our own. It's never happened in the history of the state. But we do need to get back into having the ability to have the discussion, have robust discussions about this. We can get back together. We can have a session, you know, inside of a day, really. I mean, outside of what legally we'd have to do to, for legally to get back into session, like how many days we'd have to wait. But still, if we get back into session, we could have the discussion, and that's not what's happening. You know, it's really disappointing that the governor feels he just said that today, that it isn't necessary. He basically is telling us that we're not necessary. And
he's wrong. The state constitution and the people of the state demand that your voice be heard. On the line with State Senator Linda Wilson. Now, she is the state senator from the 17th Legislative District to the south of us, serving Battleground, Brush Prairie, Ridgefield, Vancouver, the rural area of Clark County. And among the things that Senator Wilson is working on is Senate Bill 5769. Senate Bill 5769 is an excellent proposal, by the way. A proposal that would provide a $250,000 property tax homestead exemption for the state property tax. Remove the business and occupation tax for manufacturing. Wouldn't it be great to encourage manufacturing in Washington State again? Repeal the capital gains income tax and repeal the long-term services and support trust program that we've been so concerned about that was shoved down our throats. Senator Wilson, thank you so much for sponsoring this bill.
Well, thank you. Yes, I thought it was about time. You know, with over $10 billion available to us, I mean, we've had $8 billion more than when we left town, and then there was a couple other billion that wasn't spent last year. So we have $10 billion available. You know, what a great thing to do is give back finally to the people, to the voters and the taxpayers of Washington. It is definitely time.
So the state treasury is not short of funds? Is there not a financial crisis that the legislature needs to raise new taxes and fees?
No. We're flush with money right now, which is always a concern because we're not in charge, and so you wonder where the money's being spent or where it's going to go, because that's really where it is. But what we're doing is trying to give it back. And so with the property tax exemption, you know, that would be, it's a progressive tax relief, because really, you know, if you have a home worth $250,000, you'll pay zero in state property tax, where the million-dollar home will get about a 25% release. Manufacturers, absolutely, right? If this pandemic and the supply line issue and all of this hasn't taught us something, it kind of tells us that we should be manufacturing our own product, because we are, you know, number one trade-dependent state in the nation. So I think that we need to encourage this, because, you know, we need businesses to grow. We need businesses to come to Washington. And there's so many things that we're doing right now, like the capital gains income tax, that will discourage people from coming to this state. And so a lot of this is really about affordability and, you know, bringing business back to the state of Washington, because I know a whole lot of people that are moving out. So, it would be nice to have something that would encourage them to come back.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we could attract more manufacturing, whether it be commercial airplane manufacturing again, or semiconductor manufacturing, or the processing of foods, or solar panels? Wouldn't it be great if Washington was the leader in manufacturing? Again, now we're the leader in many things, in the production of fruits of many kind and exports of many kind. But if we could be the leader in manufacturing again, and the suggestion you've made here in Senate Bill 5769 is to make manufacturing in Washington attractive by reducing that B&O tax rate. Now, the B&O tax rate is a tax not on the net gain of employers and job creators, but on their gross receipts, whether they make a profit or not. The B&O tax is a tax just on their receipts. So it's already harmful enough to keep them away. But to eliminate that for manufacturing really could be quite attractive, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, think about the jobs. I mean, since the turn of the century, this sector has lost over 70,000 good family wage jobs. So it's time to – what a great opportunity to bring back manufacturing, to produce things that can actually be, put out traded, right? That's what we're all about in the state of Washington. So, yes, absolutely.
And another feature that you've offered in Senate Bill 5769 that would provide tax relief is that $250,000 property tax homestead exemption. Wouldn't that be amazing for those who are on limited or fixed incomes and those who are being literally taxed out of their homes to have that additional relief? Yeah, that could mean the difference as to whether somebody can stay in their home and age in place, or whether they're on the realistic risk of homelessness or driven out of our state.
That's exactly right. Think about our elderly, right, that are on fixed incomes, that Social Security. They've worked real hard all their life to pay their property off, and all they owe is that state property tax. But seriously, that property tax is getting so high that they can't afford it.
So I understand, Senator, this bill got a little bit of traction. You've got some Democrat colleagues supporting the bill, as well as you were granted the opportunity to have a public hearing. Most of the bills from the Republican side of the aisle will never see a hearing.
Good bills.
Right. But you were able to have actually a public hearing this week. How was the public hearing? What were your impressions of the outcome?
I was pretty amazed that a lot of people came in. There's so many things in here to pick on, and basically a lot of people came in and they were the ones that wanted the long-term payroll tax. They didn't want it to go away because they knew somebody that needed it. And it's like, well, we want it to be a good program, and right now it is underfunded. It's underfunded by billions of dollars, $15 billion. So until we figure something out, it's going to be insolvent, and if they want it and need to use it, it won't be there for them. So really, what's going to happen? They're either going to need to raise the cost, the tax, or they're going to have to reduce the benefits. I mean, this is a long-term plan. So again, what happened there was, you know, we wound up extending it yesterday for 18 months. So I don't think that's the right way to go. We all of us wanted to repeal it and start over, or at least give the private industry the opportunity to work with the state to do this.
The tax will only grow, and the program will grow, and the demand for it will grow, and the tax will grow again, and And it's just another way the state government can grow. Senator Wilson, thank you so much for your voice and in representing us there in Olympia. We appreciate you and your service so much.
Thank you so much.
Senator Wilson, thank you. Until next time, Senator Linda Wilson of the 17th Legislative District, representing the rural part of Clark County.